Thanks so much for staying with us on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Gooden. Let's continue our conversation about the Corruption Perceptions Index. Malaysia has dropped 6 places in the most recent rankings. We are now 57th position among 180 countries. Joining us on the line now, we have Cynthia Gabriel. She's the Executive Director of the Advocacy Group Centered to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or better known as C4. Cynthia, good evening. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Now, how concerned are you about how much the declaration of emergency makes governance more opaque? I mean, how much can be hidden behind the cloak of emergency rule?
Well, the declaration of emergency is now 3 weeks into existence already. And as we were very concerned right from the beginning,
we're really pretty much alarmed that it has actually put democracy and the rule of law at peril. There's essentially almost no check and balance mechanisms. So as we all know, Parliament has been suspended. There is still a Parliament, but it has no exercise of power to actually scrutinize the actions of the government. And we are actually very concerned that there is a black veil now, as you would understand it to be, that we cannot get any kind of information with regard to procurement of COVID vaccines, what is the distribution mechanism, what is the plan of the government, and for how the emergency is actually impacting on the numbers of COVID, et cetera. So it is actually a very important and very central question, because there is a very serious issue on the subversion of the rule of law.
Cynthia, you know, beside the question of COVID-19 and the management of the public health crisis, what other things can be done during this emergency period that will also escape scrutiny? What exactly do you know of the powers that are now invested in the government and the executive that will allow them to, you know, sign contracts, give people, or particular business interests leeway in terms of projects and such? I mean, what exactly can happen in the 6 months or so that we are told the emergency will last?
Well, we're just very concerned now that because we're under emergency rule, the issue of procurement has always been shaded and kept away from the public eye. But at least then we had institutions like the Parliament that could exercise some form of check and balance. Now we don't. And we also have a situation where getting information from government is something which is very central. It is completely cut out. And for now, until the 1st of August, as long as the emergency rule is in place, that is how it's going to be. So there will be no Parliament sitting. And we're very concerned that even in an emergency rule, as the federal constitution speaks, there is a role for Parliament to actually play that check and balance rule. But in this case, there isn't. And the other institutions like the judiciary, the MACC, etc., it's really left to be seen how much of the powers and functions can actually be exercised during this time. Right. But what I would like to stress is it's actually burdening the rakyat and the people so much more, because the suffering is on this end, but we're not able to get real-time information, even on COVID. To be able to understand the pandemic and what do we do as citizens of Malaysia to actually counter it.
Right. Well, you know, Cynthia, just before we got you on the line, we spoke to Mohan from Transparency International Malaysia about the rankings. And one of the recommendations that TI had put forth with this report was to compel public officials who are found guilty of corruption to vacate their official positions even while they exhaust their appeal process. I'm wondering, from your point of view, feasibly and practically, the practicalities of this, how likely is this in Malaysia?
My honest opinion, very unlikely. It's because there hasn't been a punishment punitive system in the civil service to actually punish those involved and charged for corruption. So it's very difficult. But what I would like to recommend is the enforcement actually gets tightened, and there is a serious issue of law enforcement corruption in Malaysia. And we're not just talking about one law enforcement, we're not just talking about the police, because everyone's talking about the IPCMC and the lack of accountability when it comes to police and how deep-rooted police corruption is. But my recommendation would also be for all law enforcement to be seriously overhauled. We know recently there was a big scandal with the Immigration Department where visas were just being given out, and a couple of highly ranked deputy directors were also charged and now being investigated by the MECC for corruption. So it is a very pivotal area for reforms. But what I would also like to say is that public procurement has a big role in which the civil service comes into focus. And this is where the MECC has recorded more than 42.8% of complaints related to public procurement issues. So billions of taxpayers' money actually gets wasted on procurement and contracts and awards of contracts that actually goes to cronies. And nowadays, we see nepotism also playing a very heavy hand in how contracts are being awarded. So this
Can I just ask you to address this question? Mohan from Transparency International said that, you know, one of the reasons for the fall in the ranking is because of this rollback on the reform agenda. But at the same time, we see, you know, the MACC conducting raids and, in fact, arresting fairly high-ranking members of the, you know, of institutions like the immigration, so on and so forth. So what? So in terms of the public perception of things changing or getting better, where should, how should we understand these seem to be conflicting dynamics? The end of reform, but at the same time, you know, criminals are being pursued.
Well, when there was the sudden coup and the Sheraton move, as we all know it, there was a big agenda called reform around anti-corruption and promoting good governance, which was hanging in the balance. There was a national anti-corruption plan that was developed by the previous administration, and there was no time for the plan to actually be implemented because the rule was cut short after 22 months. So I'd like to actually put it on the table that we have to ask Prime Minister Mohidin and his cabinet members, what has happened to the plan? So he has actually said through a PMO statement that the plan remains, but it's very much you know, just piecemeal reforms that you can't really feel as tangible. In fact, the rollbacks have been quite serious, and the National Anti-Corruption Plan may have just been binned and just put into the trash can altogether. So there's a whole lot of commitment that needs to be seen for the reform agenda to continue and to take shape, because right now we're seeing many, many rollbacks in the
We'll have to find out more about that and get a follow-up on updates on the National Anti-Corruption Plan. Thank you, Cynthia, for joining us on the show. We appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages with more on the fight against corruption here in Malaysia. Stay tuned.